We're talking today with Rich Eubanks, of course, our state Oklahoma FFA president for 2017-18. Ridge, since elected and taking that office in the spring of 2017, I know you've already been busy with your team. Second time around as a state officer, how's it gone thus far as president?
Honestly, it's been surpassing of everything that I could have ever expected it to be. And we just finished up, the entire officer team just finished a very successful Colt Conference, chapter officer leadership training. And so we traveled around the state putting on different leadership workshops and things for students in each one of the five areas of the state. And so that was kind of our last big project to do. But man, you blink and you're already halfway through your first semester of college, and we're getting close to National Convention coming up in just a couple of weeks. And so, you know, looking back on the things that we've done thus far, I think we're headed in a very good direction for most of the goals that we have set for this year. And there's always room for improvement in the things that we're doing. So I'm just really excited to see what the coming days have in store for the officer team and the whole state for that.
Now, one of the things that the state officers do a lot of is you interact with local chapters and with local members.
Yes. And that's one of my favorite parts of the job, is that we can get invited to some of the most random things that you'd never expect. I remember playing mud volleyball with the Tecumseh FFA chapter early on into the semester. And so just little events like that where you get invited to. And that's honestly one of my favorite parts of the job, is getting to interact on the chapter level, be a little more personable with those members on a smaller scale, rather than having to just do the big conferences and kind of be a figurehead.
What do you think the year as a state officer does to prepare that state president for the job that you're now in?
Oh, man. Without the experience, it would just I feel a lot more prepared. If anything, it's preparedness and being able to say, I've lived through a year of it. Here's how things can be better. Here's how they were already good. So how can we build on that? And a lot of it's just having that experience to be able to guide the other officers on the team and say, okay, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to do it. I'll take any inputs, but overall, this is kind of what the end product needs to look like. And so having that year under your belt, it's certainly helps when you're trying to organize things, plan out the rest of the week, and, you know, not just take care of yourself, but also try to steer seven other officers on where they need to go as well.
Right. Obviously, the state convention is very important to the officer team and to state FFA members, but at kind of that halfway point of your year, as you've mentioned, is that other capstone type of experience, and that's the National FFA Convention. They've gone back to Indianapolis now, going to stay there for several years. Your year last year as state officer included their first time back at Indianapolis for a while. How was that?
Oh, it was incredible. And having gotten to experience both Louisville and Indianapolis was something that I was really happy to get to do and get to see those different perspectives. But boy, Indianapolis really showed out. It was a warm welcome, and there was just blue and gold all over the streets. And I don't think I've ever felt as welcome for a convention or for anything that I've ever been to. And so I'm really excited to get to go back this year and see how they built on that and just see kind of what lies in store with this new national officer team that they're about to be swearing in. And so that's the best way I know how to say it. I'm just really excited. Indianapolis is an incredible host city, and I'm really excited to get to be there for the next few years and go back with this team and with all the FFA members that are going to be competing and receiving awards. And we've got a really good slate of members this year, so I'm excited to see how all that shakes out.
Now, you went. You had the opportunity to go and participate as just a regular chapter member, right, and take it in, the career show and all that.
Well, I actually was a chorus member. I never got to really see it from just a member standpoint. I was always doing stuff behind the scenes and backstage, so I kind of have a little different perspective on that, because it seems like every hour of every day was, okay, you're going to go sing here, and if you want to go check out the trade show for about an hour, you can do that. So I've been to the trade show. It's pretty good, but I never had the free time, so to speak, to just kind of walk around and enjoy convention.
Now, for 2017, as you mentioned, got a lot of FFA members involved in competition. We've got a national officer candidate, as we always do. But you've got some special duties as well.
Yes, sir. So this last summer, the last week of July, Truett Taylor and I flew out to Washington, D.C. for the State President's Conference. And there you had the state presidents and then the next in command, if you will, all in one committee group, and they kind of hashed out the different leadership responsibilities for the delegate process that comes along every national convention. And I was fortunate enough to be elected to a committee chair position. So I'm chairing the committee for chapter opportunities and opportunities for chapter members, reevaluating evaluating the different conferences that exist and maybe even putting together new opportunities for those members that maybe don't have as many on the chapter level.
So you're actually going to be kind of leading the effort, talk and discussion with other FFA members coming in from all across the United States at the front end of the convention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm one of six committee chairs, and that's been probably the hardest part is putting together meetings with all the other people in the committee, because I know my vice chairs are from Connecticut and Indiana, and then I've got representatives that come out of Puerto Rico and Washington State and Texas, and so getting everybody on that same time schedule to where we can just talk about what we got to do, those I've never had to deal with, you know, the different state phone conversations. So, but yes, we get to have members from just about every state in our committee. And so I'm really excited for that and getting to remain neutral, but be up front and kind of lead the conversations, make sure we complete the tasks that we're set out to do and just keep everybody on track is something that I'm very thankful to have the opportunity for.
Your experience in the FFA and the blue and gold jacket, what has that meant to you?
Oh, man. I mean, it means the world to me because it's gotten me to the point where I can sit here and talk to you and just have an intelligent conversation, be able to voice everything that I feel. It's given me the opportunity to connect with people all over the country that I would have never imagined meeting otherwise. And those connections started early, and they've been able to grow just year after year, and just following up with members in the state of Oklahoma all across the country is just an incredible thing. It's given me confidence in myself to where I can go out and perform and serve the Oklahoma state membership to the best of my abilities. And so, I mean, it's basically led me to where I am today, more than just FFA and all the other facets of my life where I also have found some success.
One other area that I wanted to at least talk about for just a moment is the value of the FFA experience back to ag education. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got a lot of challenges in education in Oklahoma these days. I would think maybe at least once or twice you've had a conversation or two with folks that are responsible for local school districts about the value of FFA and ag education to their students.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's actually one of the things that we have a committee focused on this year is an ag education career development event that basically makes it more inviting for students to find an avenue in ag education and to be an ag ed instructor, because that's another thing. And one of the biggest challenges we face in Oklahoma as a state association is finding ag teachers to come in year after year and take those vacant positions, because we have an aging group of ag teachers that goes out every year. And so the importance of ag education, it's a crucial part of schools because of the work ethic it teaches, because of the values and the core principles that this organization stands through, and you get a quality education. In my opinion, it shows you a lot more of how the world works, and there's not as much of a disconnect between where your food comes from, understanding, you know, that we are all intertwined in this world, and we need to take care of our natural resources, use them to the best of our ability, and that the livelihoods that we have are dependent on those farmers and ranchers and the people that supply us with the things we need to just carry on every day.